Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is college basketball. Jake, we have made it to the first four games. And have you ever been over to Dayton and watched them?
I've never gone to Dayton. It's always
it's like an hour away, man. Come on.
I know, but I typically use my PTO for Thursday and Friday rather than Tuesday, Wednesday.
There you go.
Yeah, that's just...
My parents came up 1 year and my dad and I went over and watched the Tuesday games. And it was kind of neat because that was the year the Final Four was in Indianapolis. They came back for that and we watched the Final Four in Indianapolis. So I got to see the first games of the tournament, the last. It was a lot of fun that year. So it's a lot of fun over there in Dayton. It's a real small arena. So everything's compact there. We'll have, of course, as always, two 16 games and then two 10 seeds. We've already covered, talked about a little bit of this on the bracket special. If you haven't seen that yet, if you like that talk, we run through the entire bracket. We've already got that show out there. Otherwise, though, we're going to do the first four here. NIT picks, CBI picks will be over on Dub Club, where you will get a lot of benefit over there. Of course, baseball coming soon. But the main thing you're going to get for the rest of this month are college basketball. So NIT picks, those CBI picks, and of course, all of the extra information, all of the kind of like write-ups, all the details, you will get all the picks kind of in one place to see them, as opposed to, we're going to cover every turn of the game on show, but you have to like watch and listen through. So having it all in one place will be convenient as well. And you'll get early access. We're going to drop those shows right when they're done recording to our people over on Dub Club, and everyone else will get them just a little bit later. So a lot of benefit to being over on Dub Club. Jake, the recap for the season. Once we did the A-grade sides, it's just the wrong team favorite. Just the very end, so just a handful of them. Exactly as we kind of hoped, 13 and 13. That was the whole point, was every one of those is plus odds. If we go 500 on those plus odds, it is beautiful. And that's exactly what we kind of been doing that all season. And so it just took me a little while to kind of designate those as A-grade sides. The A-grade totals hung on to positive for the season. The free show picks hung on to positive for the season.
Hey, it's green. It's green.
It's green, barely, but hey, it's green. And the plays of the day, though, finished with an 8% ROI on the regular season, 24.4 units. You know, a lot of reasons to be over on Dub Club, one of which being the play of the day. Jake, anything to mention before we get into it, into the first four games, breaking down all 67 tournament games that will happen this March?
I was talking about a pre-show. I can't believe I was so worried about the Midwest and their seeding issues that the Big East only got three teams in and the Mountain West got six. Like, the Big East was better than three teams. Yeah. I don't know. This seems to be the weirdest bubble at large that we've ever had.
It's also the first time we've got 10 seeds playing as the play-in games, which is very unique. Usually it's 11s. I think 12s. There's even a 12. There's a couple of 12s. Usually it's 11s. But yeah, 11s or 12s, not 11s or 10s. You know, both of them are 10s. Been quite an interesting one. Of course, we'll start off with some 16s, though, and Wagner and Howard. Jake, something that the viewer will notice as we go through these, a lot of the picks are C and D grades. There's only one A grade for the entirety of the first round so far. Obviously, we have four TBD matchups. But I think I remember this last year, too. Once we got to the tournament, the model and the sports books really converged, and lines were just very tight. And that's just kind of the way it goes. As always, though, we give out the projections to people on Dub Club first. So I'm not seeing the lines and doing any adjustments. We're getting out those projections. We can do them for any game that we want right now and kind of show our work. We've always tried to get the projections up before the lines. It's just there's a lot tighter ones. These first four games are no different here. This one's a C grade, but it's a C grade I kind of like here. The under 128.5, it's the earlier tip. And with these smaller schools, Jake, we've talked about it all season long. The offenses just aren't quite as strong as the defenses. And you've got a team like Wagner who just does not want to play any offense. They want to play slow. They want to play good defense. We had Wagner with the under in their conference championship game, and that turned out well for us. And I think it continues here. Howard's a pretty ho-hum team, pretty run-of-the-mill pace, and they're better on offense than defense, but it's a new gym, neutral site. It's different, something you're shooting at. And a lot of times these teams coming in, they'll play it real measured, real slow, trying to get the perfect shot off. The defense intensity is always there. There's nerves and jitters early on. Just a lot of reasons to like the under here. We're going under 128.5. Model says 126. Jake, what's your take on this game?
I love the under here. That's one of my favorites. Wagner plays so slow and has only slowed down since conference play picked up. They're really bad on offense, but they'll take care of the ball, which means they're going to hold it for a while because they average about 20 seconds or so per possession. They're going to take their sweet time. They're not really a jump shooting team, and they make free throws fairly well. But when it comes to Howard, they have the better offense, but they turn the ball over so much. Mm-hmm. Almost a quarter of their possessions in the turnover, and they're very jump shot dependent. They're shooting like almost 42% of their field goal attempts are three-point shots. I mean, they're hitting a good clip. They're hitting at 38%, but like you said, new gym, everything like that. It's going to take a minute before that gets to follow with the turnovers and how often they foul. I think they're really going to struggle to get in any kind of rhythm. Wagner's really going to be able to slow this game down. And we're at, like, they're absolutely, it's going to be a terrible, terrible basketball game just because everything is bad. Nothing's working well to produce a fun game here. But I think the under's a really good play. I kind of think Wagner might be a fun little, if you want something on the side. Nothing I would totally recommend, but if you just have to have something, maybe.
It's not the craziest idea. The model has it pegged pretty even with the sports books here. Gives Howard a 62% chance of winning. But right now, Howard's favored by three. It's what the model says, by three. So the model would not tell you to go any way, which one way or the other. So as a default in these, and Jake, you and I did one year, one of those contests in Vegas where we picked all the first, no, we didn't do the first four, but we picked the first the Thursday, Friday games and came out on third out of a ton of people, made a ton of money. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I think our strategy was kind of on this situation where it was like, hey, if it looks like it's priced pretty well, just take the dog because anything can happen in these tournament games. And so with the model saying it's priced pretty well, I definitely would be saying the same thing. Like, hey, you know, dabble on the Wagner and the plus points if it's a one possession game or the money line at the plus odds and just say, who the heck knows what's going to happen in this? Howard's the better team, but it's not by a ton. And with the way Wagner plays, like I said, anything can happen. Having been to a couple of those games in Dayton too, it seems dim in that arena. Like the lights just aren't that bright. I wonder if that affects the shooting as well. But I just expect a low scoring game here. And you mentioned Howard's turnover issues. Most teams, and I think that's why Howard has a quote unquote above average pace, is when Howard turns the ball over, that tends to lead to quick shots for the other team, whether it's a transition three or trying to get to the hole or whatever. But Wagner's one of those few teams that doesn't really want to push the pace whatsoever. They're Virginia S. There's 362 teams in college basketball. I can see their number 360 on the screen there in pace. And so, you know, they get turnovers and they just like hold it and they just want to wait 20 seconds before they shoot it. And so the fact that they're not really rushing down the court after those turnovers should help keep the number of points down. We saw in that conference championship game for Wagner just how few points there were scored. And that's the reason why, is because even when they get a turnover, they're not like just dying to push the ball and get quick. They're not trying to go back and forth or whatever. And that sort of pace really lends itself to an under. So 128.5 is the number going to go under that seat grid.
Yeah, like something I noticed just looking at the numbers here, when Howard has the ball and taking their time on their offense, they average around 18 seconds of possession when they're doing that. Whether that's so when they're not turning the ball over, their turnovers solely drive their pace up. Right. That's the only thing driving their pace. It's to back up your point. They actually would enjoy playing slower, which I think would make our under play a bit stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. Wagner, of course, wants to do that as well. So, yeah, a lot of reasons like this under. Which takes us to the evening tilt of these games. And there's, I believe, 9 NIT games Tuesday that we'll have picks for over on Dub Club. But to wrap up the first four Tuesday edition, Colorado State and Virginia. Colorado State, more balanced team, Virginia, all defense. Jake, we've played a few overs in Virginia games this year. Some of them have hit. Virginia's gone over a handful of times. Absolutely, usually the number's really low. But anytime the model says under in Virginia, I tend to like it because, of course, they really just suck the air out of the ball. They are not going to go fast whatsoever. They play good defense. They they wait to the end of the shot clock and get terrible shots. They force the other team to wait to the end of the shot clock and take terrible shots as well. Colorado State also plays slow. The model projects 116. And if there's any sort of dim light, jitters, anything like that happening as well, this game is definitely going under. So we just cross our fingers for that, you know. B minus grade, one of the stronger plays here in the first four in these Tuesday, Wednesday games, but we like going under in both of them here. Jake, I've seen some of these first four games go over, but they tend to be when they get helter-skelter type teams that just kind of get a little frantic, and you'll see like a four-minute stretch where it's just back and forth, and you'll see a bunch of misses. You'll miss and miss and back and forth, but then they start hitting, and it just gets a little bit hectic. These two teams aren't that style of basketball. It's going to be pretty boring and low scoring is our opinion here. So just into the B grades for this under 120 and a half, as the model thinks it's more likely to be in the low one teens than it is to get into the 120s. Jake, tell us more.
Yeah, can we? This is a terrible way to end the with what's supposed to be the better matchup. Like, this Tuesday night is such boring basketball because, I mean, everybody knows Virginia, solid, solid defense. Mm-hmm. I don't know that pace is the word that we can use, but we have to. So they do play at a very slow pace. Colorado State, not much faster. They want to play slow as well. They've been struggling to shoot the ball from deep here. They work the ball well on offense, which means they're going to take their time, find the right shot, which against Virginia is going to be the majority of the shot clock. This is going to be very slow. And I mean, these tournament games, I would say, especially with the first four and first rounds, like, it's going to be a lot of pass the ball around. Like, let's run up and down the court a few times before we start jacking up 30-foot threes and stuff like that, because you've got to get the jitters out, the nervousness, get a feel for how everything's going to sound, look, and just shooting the gym. So it's going to be a minute before that starts happening, and everybody's going to try to run their offense, find the layups, and that's going to be a lot of what this game is working your offense all the way down to 2-3-1 and then throwing the shot clock, something up to save the shot clock, and not a lot of points being scored.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Virginia wants to do in general. And so it really plays into their hands, this style of basketball. We've talked about this with Virginia as well. When they've been a dominant team, it's not the style you want to play, because when you're the much better team, you want more possessions to show your dominance. But with this Virginia team just being very mediocre, it's actually the exact style you would want to play, because Cousin Jared talked about it last week. They've got an identity. It's different. It's tough to face. That doesn't necessarily mean they'll win or lose. It just means we know exactly what we're going to get from them. And Colorado State is that sort of team anyway, that's, you know, real measured and tries to get the good looks or whatever, you know, as the shot clock they're not in a hurry, and Virginia will not let you get into a hurry. And so these numbers are shaded down a little bit, but we don't think enough. So we're going to go double under here on Tuesday. Here is your sneak peek at what you can get with us over on Dub Club, though. Again, a lot of write-ups, charts, information, a lot of added benefits, all the picks and everything in one place, and all the NIT and CBI picks. So check that out if you have not yet. QR code there on the screen will get you $5 off your first month, get you for only $29.99. And again, all those summaries, projections, is what you're looking for over there. But to Wednesday we go, 6:40 p.m. Eastern, Grambling State at Montana State. We're going to go another under here. This one is not by much. 135. Model says 134.5. We have another team that wants to go slow in Grambling State. Montana State wants to speed it up. This one is an under. It's probably my least favorite of the first four picks that we have. But we would lean under just because if we have to default, we say weaker teams tend to go under, better teams tend to go over. It's not 100% of the time. It's like 48 and 52 or something. It's not like a strong, you know, blind back type trend. But with both of these teams, you know, they're pretty balanced, but towards the bottom part of college basketball. Montana State's favored by 4. Sideline says by exactly 4. So it makes it tough to really find anything good for this one. But with a number in the mid 130s, we've just seen too many of these first four games. especially if both teams don't want to push the tempo. We've seen too many of them land in the 64, 62 range that kind of just default to under if you don't really know. Jake, what's your take on this here, our least favorite of the first four games?
Yeah, I mean, typically tournament games go under, like especially these first four and first round. So that's the only reason is really to play this under. Other than that, I feel like everything's kind of spot on. Yeah. I mean, Grambling State is playing a lot better in conference play than they did non-conference, but Montana State really finished the year strong. They won some pretty good conference tournament games. They're a decent shooting team, but they struggle rebounding the ball, and then Grambling State struggles with turnovers and doesn't rebound the ball well. So I don't know where anybody's really going to have too much of an advantage to press an offense, especially Grambling State really wants to slow this game down. And I mean, Montana State wants to push it a bit, but not enough to really take advantage of where Grambling State is weak. I just think this is going to be bad basketball and two 16 seeds going at it for this is the Purdue one. So it's not going to work well.
Yeah. If you're looking at a side on this one, I would probably tell you the same thing about the Wagner-Howard thing is just take the dog and just say, hey, who the heck knows what's going to happen in these games. But I mean, Montana State is the better team and they're favored like they should be. Who knows? But because you just never know who's going to, you know, have more jitters or less jitters or who's going to show up or whatever. But it's priced pretty well. This one's just all going to key off of what Grambling State does with the tempo. Are they going to get kind of sucked into Montana State's faster game? Are they going to allow some transitions, transition layups and transition quick buckets and kind of get a few themselves? Or are they going to cut every fast break off and really force Montana State into a half-court game? I think it's going to be the difference maker in this one. Unfortunately, I don't think this is the type of game that you can watch the first 4 minutes in live bet. A lot of times you can do that, watch the first or the first media timeout or the second and get a feel for how it goes, because a lot of times in these tournament games, the first 4 minutes are wildly different than the rest of the game. Every so often, you see a first 4 minutes that are helter-skelter, everybody's up and down because those jitters speed everybody up. And then after the first media timeout, everyone, the coach gets them to take a deep breath and it slows down at that point. Or sometimes that first little bit they come out and it's like the coach has told them, you know, don't shoot until the shot clock is single digits and it's super slow. And then after that first timeout, it's like, okay, now we're going to. So you don't even really get a good feel, unfortunately, at the first media timeout. So it's more of what I can kind of tell you. I think the key to it's going to be what Grambling State, how they handle that fact that Montana State wants to get up and down a little bit more. But unfortunately, I don't think you really want to react to what happens in the first 4 minutes because it may not be a good representation of how it goes, because you just never know with these tournament games. A lot of these kids being under this sort of TV, this sort of pressure, et cetera, for the first time for a lot of these 16s as they haven't played a lot of big primetime games. But as always, shop around. If you are shopping around at multiple books, we just use all of our lines here for these shows from BetUS. And so right now, BetUS, we think it got pretty priced well. But if you're shopping around at different places, maybe you can find a better price. And so you always would have multiple books in your portfolio. Folks, if you don't have BetUS, you should add that, because while BetUS is priced pretty well for this game, there's other games where they're not. And that's where you want to take advantage of that and always place your bets where you can get the best price. Check out BetUS if you're not yet. 125% bonus on your first ever three deposits.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
That'll wrap us up for the first four games with Colorado and Boise State. Colorado, a team that ekes into the first four after just falling short in their conference tournament against Oregon. Jake, I'm surprised to see them here. They're a pretty strong team, and I really thought the committee would have a little bit more forgiveness for them, given the fact that so many of their losses came when they had some injuries to some key players. They're, according to Sideline, a top 25 team. And not to say that Boise isn't a very good team either. It's just this Colorado team, I really thought with that win over Washington State and getting the conference tournament, I really thought they would avoid this first four, but they don't. And instead, they have to play the Broncos in a game that we're going to go over to wrap up tonight. And Jake, this is where we the type of game that we've sometimes seen overs in the first four. We've seen more unders than anything else, but we see the overs with teams who play much more reasonable paces. And Boise slows down a little, but not quite like a Wagner, not like a Virginia. And Colorado is perfectly fine getting up and down and just has such an efficient offense. They've got the best offense of any of the teams here playing of these eight teams playing in the first four. And so we're going to go over 138.5, just ekes into a B grade as well. So the models is 142.5. Jake, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, the committee just didn't like the state of Colorado, apparently. But jokes aside, Colorado, man, they go back and forth for me. They are a very talented team. Mm-hmm. But can't seem to put it together for a full game, it seems. I mean, like their last game, they had the lead and were doing well and then just let Oregon go. And I think that's kind of what we're going to see is Colorado is going to take advantage of Boise at times with their talent and stuff, and they're going to relax a bit, and Boise's going to sneak back into the game, and then Colorado's going to try to flip the switch again and pull out front, and Boise's going to chase. I'm not exactly sure who's going to win this. If I were to lean one way, I'd probably lead Boise State as a better play. But I think either way, we're going to get more points than we're seeing. And I would say you could pick two of the previous games and combine them and probably get less points than what we're going to score in this game. But it's either way, I think we're going to get a much better basketball game, more fun, competitive, kind of cat and mouse type thing with going back and forth. And that's going to lead to a lot of points, especially – into the end of games here, people, like you see in championships and tournaments and things, people don't want their season to end. They're going to play, they're going to foul just a bit longer, just one more possession to have a chance, like to maybe some miracle come back. And that with these two teams and the way they shoot free throws, that should be a big benefit to us.
Yeah, and folks, of course, he speaks in hyperbole. He doesn't literally mean add those other two scores up. I don't think that would be if that happens. Wow, that would be incredible. But you know, we would love to go 4-0 on these picks, right? We always tell people, you know, hey, we aren't trying to predict the future. Nobody can. And you know, our goal is to win more than we lose and to profit and to grow our bankroll and prevent having to reload and put more money into your betting accounts. And so, you know, three out of these four, if we can win, would be great. And I kind of think you're right about the late fouling. And I think there's a good chance that one of those first three unders loses because of that. But if we can get the other two unders and then get this over, that makes us 3-4. So that'd be a nice little you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, start off to the tournament to start off 3-1. So that's kind of the goal, is to say those late fouls, if they're going to happen, they help us here. They might cost us one of those first two, but there's enough reason to like the unders there that the other two stay under for us. Don't know which ones, right? We can't predict that. So I always preach responsible gambling, because nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. Unless you have inside information, it's a whole other story. You know, if you know something about, who was it, the Temple basketball, you know, we don't want to be a part of that. We don't know. Don't tell us. You know, we're not involved in that situation. But otherwise, right, we just don't know how it'll play out. But we think in general, this is the best chance to get over without the late foul type situation. But we do love having that in our back pocket as an extra possibility to get over, especially in what should be a tightly contested game. Of course, all of them should be. Jake, I think it's interesting here. The model has Colorado only favored by 4, and the books have it 2.5. We've had pretty strong edges on Colorado here for a lot of the season. There's only been minor stretches with some of the injuries. Again, we have a player-based model, so we can pull those players out where that hasn't been the case. But the models really love Colorado all season. I think it's interesting that it's such a small edge when we had big edges on Colorado. And Cousin Jared likes to point these things out and kind of says, hey, when the model all of a sudden doesn't like it quite as much, maybe that tells you something. I'm not sure it tells me to play Boise State, because I'm not sure the price is big enough, but it does make me a little bit leery of playing Colorado, where we've loved playing Colorado here in the past. It's almost like the prices are converging. The model is starting to like Colorado just a little bit less. The market's starting to realize they're a little bit better, and it's kind of coming together now. And all those, you know, backing of Colorado's that we've been doing, maybe less excited to play them, even though they're the only C grade we have right now on the side. For the first four, I'm not really thinking it's one I want to invest in either direction. I don't know what you're taking.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, if I were just wanted to have just some action on the side, Boise State would probably be like the play I would make here. I just kind of like their guard experience more than I like Colorado's. They've at least been to the tournament once or twice. They know how this works. Colorado really hasn't. So that's more of just a feel, not any number based like analytics kind of thing. Just like that's how. But as of now, I'm not personally playing it, and I don't recommend it.
And you wonder how the teams are reacting to this. Colorado, you have to feel, is disappointed about being here. They've got so much talent on that team. They had higher expectations. They made it to the conference tournament. Had they won that game, obviously they get a trophy in the trophy case, which is really exciting, and they get to avoid this. Now they're going to Dayton to play kind of a frisky team in Boise State. I don't know. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not saying that they won't come out. I mean, they have the talent to go out there and win this game by 15. You just don't know if that's going to affect them or not. And you flip that around to someone like Virginia, who has to feel very fortunate to be in the tournament. Many people saying they shouldn't. I made the comment on the bracket show that it really should be Indiana State's spot right there playing Colorado State instead. And you have to wonder if they're excited to be there. And I don't know. Again, I'm not in the locker room, and we're not making this as any part of any official projections or something. It's just something to keep in mind about, is there any bit of a motivational excitement, disappointment type issue? These are the things that affect the 19-year-olds in the college football and the college basketball shows that we do that we don't really talk about often in the pros. In the pros, it's a little bit of a different role mentality, different age group. It's just a different setup. But, you know, that kind of mindset leads me to what I'm about to say, which is, if you had to play a side ball for them, folks, I think I might just drop a few bucks on every dog money line and just say, we're probably going to go 2-2 on them, and you're going to make money off of it, because they're all going to be close games. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody really knows who's motivated, who's excited to be there. And so, yes, we can tell you which team is better, and all the teams that are favored are better on paper, but it's a little bit tougher to figure out how these games go traveling to a place that I'm not sure any of these teams have ever played before. It's just a whole different ball game. So we gave out the totals here, and like I said, if I was playing the sides, I'd just drop a few bucks on every dog at plus odds and just say, hey, who the heck knows who's going to really win these games, because it's not necessarily always the more talented team, right?
Yeah, no, not at all. It's typically not the most talented team that wins. It's like in these first four,
if it's a tight contest, if it's close. Yeah, a lot of it's like you said, it's the experience, or it's the guard play, or it's who it's their free throws, or it's who doesn't have the jitters, or it's who can figure out the shooting backdrop faster, or it's who's more motivated, or who's more excited, or sometimes it's who's less excited. Sometimes you get too excited, right? Sometimes it's the refs and how they're calling the game. And there's so many variables that we can't figure that out. So we've got some good side picks coming in the first round where we think the number's off and we want to take advantage of that. But here in these first four games, we're expecting a lot of chaos. So unders here for the first three, over for the last one. If you have to play a side, maybe take a chance with a dog. Jake, that's our first four show. We will have every game covered for Thursday in the show, and then another show with every game covered for Friday. But before we get to those, you have any parting words for the people heading into Tuesday and Wednesday with NIT games? Again, you can get those on Dub Club and these first four games.
Hey, the NIT, that's where Dub Club is really going to come in, because you got NIT and CBI and all that. Plenty of money to be made there, a lot less attention paid to them, so it's a lot easier to find some edges. So that's more than worth, good enough reason to sign up for Dub Club, and that you'll start to get the baseball stuff. It's a perfect time to jump in.
Yeah, we did pretty well with the NIT and the CBI last year. Like you said, less attention paid, bigger edges there, because there's less scrutiny. The tournament, you know, we try to take advantage if we can get our big edges, but there's just not many of them. But there will be way more of them in the NIT and the CBI, because there's a small amount of money can move the number, and or perception can keep a number at a certain spot. The books know there's going to be so little money on some of these NIT and CBI games that they hang numbers such that they know that they're off, but they are afraid if they make the number accurate based off of what the sharps are going to do, what they think the public's going to do, they would get crushed on one side, and they don't necessarily want to take that risk. And so sometimes they hang numbers that they know aren't great, because they're managing things a little bit differently than we are here. They know with the tournament games, there's going to be enough money on it. They don't have to worry about that. That's why the numbers are just so much more accurate here in the tournament. So those NIT and CBI picks, again, we get some big edges on those. Those are going to be exclusively on Dub Club. Check that if you have not yet. Show link or link in the show description Otherwise, if you haven't seen it yet, check out the bracket show. We'll be back later in the week for more NCAA tournament coverage.